All right, joining us now is Gary Larrabee, the media liaison for the U.S. Senior Open, as well as a golf history writer, or sports history writer, I should say. Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, Gary. And as we tape this on Memorial Day, typical March weather out there. So how's that affecting things?
Well, everything's still growing, and we're just not getting the temperatures we want, except for that one stretch 2 weeks ago. But we should pick pause for a moment to remember that we had an awful lot of great golfers of the late 30s and early 40s who served during World War II, people like Ben Hogan and drawing a blank, but there were many of our top name players back in those days who did serve during World War II. So I wanted to make a moment to make that note. Golfers were not just golfing during World War II, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's true of so many different professions and celebrities and non-celebrities. And, you know, we talk with a couple of veterans this week, and we talk with a PBD Veteran Services agent who was a veteran of Afghanistan, two tours. And the one thing that he was making very clear is that, yes, it is a day of reflection. It is a day of remembrance, certainly. And to many families, a somber day. But it's also a day for families and a weekend for families to get together. So in that regard, you know, it's... It in many cases is the official or non-official beginning of summer, and so hopefully it'll be a nice time for people.
Yes, it's supposed to be a time to ramp up, get that barbecue going, and get the awnings out and get the pool open. But it's a little chilly for the pool, and even a little chilly for a lot of other things. Well, we always make the best of it, and we're very grateful that we do have a Memorial Day. Thanks to those men and women who
absolutely
gave their lives to preserve what we have in this amazing country.
Absolutely. You know, I always just tell, I used to have some kids in homeroom. I always had a freshman homeroom, and some kids wouldn't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, or they wouldn't say the pledge. And, you know, we're in a very liberal state, and I would just point out to them that what you just said, you know, these people were just, in my mind, I'm just saying thank you to all those people who made my life easy. So, you know, that's how I looked at it.
Indeed, we do have a late-breaking story, believe it or not, from Jupiter, Florida.
Okay, let's go.
And you may know who lives in Jupiter, Florida.
I know a lot of people who live in Jupiter, so who are we talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the fellow we've usually not named in recent years.
Oh, okay.
Because of his misdeed and his misbehavior, but a little more misbehavior on the Tiger Woods by the ledger today. He was arrested for drunk and driving around 7 o'clock this morning.
Oh my goodness!
And, second time he's been arrested. The first time he'll be brought to court. The charges were dropped the first time or something, and that was right after, because he was accused of adultery and all that stuff. But there's a mugshot on the internet right now, going everywhere. And for those of us who think the golfing gods are still continuing to tell Tiger where they stand and where he stands in their eyes.
But you know, Gary,
for a more unfortunate show for Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but something like that, on the flip side of that, doesn't it point out, doesn't it magnify the behavior and the character of the great golfers that he was chasing? You mentioned Ben Hogan and, you know, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and those guys. You know, we didn't read of any of that stuff, and even today, I guess, Nicklaus is very upset with Tiger Woods. But it points out to their character, and I'm sure there are many, many others in the PGA right now who are people of good character.
No, exactly right. And your point's well taken, and we should move on from Tiger, leave Tiger alone.
Yep, let's go.
Move on to the fact that another week has passed. We now are 4 weeks and counting before championship week starts, 4 weeks from today. And we're all paying very close attention yesterday to the Senior PGA Championship being held down in Washington, D.C., and the amazing German Bernhard Langer, 59 years old, just won his second major and a senior major in 2 weeks. He passes Jack Nicklaus, becomes the winner of the most senior majors, 9. Jack has 8. Tom Watson's coming to play. He's got 6 at Salem. Taylor Irwin, I believe, has 6. He'll be at Salem. But the big news this week was the announcement through the USGA that Nick Faldo is officially entered the 2017 U.S. Senior Open in Salem, and this will be his first U.S. Senior Open since he turned 50. Of course, he's been primarily being an analyst these last many years for the Golf Channel and for CBS. But, of course, this tournament's being televised by Fox, which means Nick will have the week off. And I understand that Nick's going to play a series of tournaments this summer when he's not working for CBS or the Golf Channel, and this is one of them. I believe he'll be playing in one, at least one before Salem to get in a little bit of a competitive mode, but that's big news, because we, for many years now, Faldo hasn't played on the senior tour, nor has Greg Norman. Davis Love is not yet at 53. And we're thrilled to have Nick in the field. It should be a little extra spice for the week, even if he shoots a couple of 80s and misses the cut.
Okay, well, yeah, the more the better. I mean, for the fans, no question. But, Gary, is it a statistical fact that the younger seniors, if I can use that phrase together, have a better odds of winning this thing, or does it just depend on who's entered in the field? And you've got a lot of great golfers in this field.
We have learned over the years, Rick, that there's a wide range of champions on the majors included, in the senior majors, and I don't think you can be picking anyone in particular because of their age, because it's 18 holes a day. It's not no 36-hole finisher. No one does 36 holes in the final day anymore. But the fact remains, we've had winners in the 50s, and I believe we've had a U.S. Senior Open winner right around 60, but I'm not sure who the oldest U.S. Senior Open champion is. But we'll find out between now and championship week. But the fact that Lang will come in as a favorite no matter what he does the next few weeks on the tour, I think he'll play once or twice more before he comes to Salem. He has to be unquestionably the favorite coming in, even with the likes of Miguel Angel Jimenez and Fred Couples and the younger boys, the 50-year-olders, Steve Stricker and David Toms coming in. Lang is the man to beat. He's just had a phenomenal career on the senior tour, the PGA Tour champions, and we'll see if he can keep it going. He's won two in a row. Senior majors. We'll see if we can keep it going.
Okay. And now, what's next, Gary? As you say, there's in 1 month this thing begins. So, is there a series of events that will continue in the build up? How's that work? And by the way, Langer, I just think Langer was the guy with that crazy putter, isn't he? With the real tall putter.
He wears the tall putter, yes, but of course he's no longer putting against his chest. You have to keep it separate away from your body. But boy, he hasn't lost a step. He does use that type of very, very tall putter, indeed.
Okay. So what's, again, series of events, what's next in terms of the PGA Open? Then I'll ask you about what's coming up in the Salem News.
Well, actually, right now, starting today, we've got trailers arriving, all kinds of large vehicles, which provide support services during the week of the tournament. Fox has two sets of vehicles they have to use because they've got the U.S. Open. If actually they'll have one set. They have one set getting ready for the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, and then they'll have about 4 or 5 days to travel to Boston and to Salem to get their trailers set up and their cameras and all the stuff they need to have ready for televising, which starts on the 29th. You know, we have everything else involved. Trailers galore. We have a lot of place, thankfully, space for them. We're still wrapping up and still welcoming volunteers who are like with Step, and we still have an opportunity for sponsors, corporate sponsors to get involved. Lots of loose ends to tie up. We're just finishing up the editing of the Championship magazine, which I've had the pleasure and privilege to edit again as I did in 01, and we're looking forward to getting that magazine ready for all of our visitors, all of our patrons for that week. And lots of loose ends, but it looks like the field is pretty well set. There's still some qualifying going on, sectional qualifying. Of course, the big story we had around here last week was the fact that we had a sectional qualifier occur on Wednesday. Very happy that Salem-born and Salem-connected Chip Johnson was the medalist with 67, and Ron Filer from Vermont is going to be in at 69. But we were quite saddened that Kernwood head professional Frank Dully was 4 under par with 6 holes to go, and then finished 4 over the last 6 and missed by 1 shot.
Ooh, yeah, I did see that. Is there a lot of nuts and bolts stuff going on still, Gary, or is most of the groundwork pretty well set, and it's just, as you say, ironing things out?
It is set, but Mike Gargan, who's in charge of operations, has got his hands full. He'll be there 15, 16 hours a day starting today because there's so much involved in getting everything ready for all aspects of the championship, not just the golf itself. There's a lot involved, but Mike has good support staff. He'll get through it. We'll have a great championship week, we hope.
Where do the golfers and all the periphery, the surrounding staff and maybe the Fox people, the media, do they all stay in Boston, or they just kind of settle wherever they can all over the North Shore?
We're fortunate to have a lot of good hotels within maybe 5-6 miles of the golf course. Those three hotels right along Route 1 in Peabody.
Mm-hmm.
The Marriott's just across the street almost, the Marriott Peabody. There's, of course, the we have that beautiful hotel up at Ferncroft, I believe. That's
The Doubletree, I think it is.
Doubletree, thank you for guessing me now.
Well,
there's a lot of rooms that there, so they have a lot of rooms to spare. I mean, some people may stay in Boston, the ones who want to have a little nightlife, but the players are all pretty much staying at the Marriott or at the Doubletree. And we're lucky to have, and we have a Holiday Inn out there on Route 1 with the other three, and we're lucky to have so much to provide good quality housing for all the people, the USGA, and there are fans who come from all parts of the world to watch this, whether they're with a player, that's a very strong international field, or with the USGA officials or media or whatever. So it's a big event, and it affects the economy, the local economy, in a very positive way. And we're getting closer.
Very good. All right, Gary, anything else?
No, just looking forward to some warmer weather. Rick, get us some warmer weather, will you, please?
Absolutely. Let's put in our order. Okay, Gary, thank you. We will talk to you next week during our regular time.
Look forward to it.
Thank you, Gary. Take care.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, bye-bye. That is Gary Larrabee, who is the media liaison for the U.S. Senior Open to be starting in Salem at the Salem Country Club 1 month from today.